little while ago, I visited a friend who was very poorly. In fact, I feared he would not be with us much longer. He was struggling to move, yet the house in which he lived with his wife showed no sign of his bed being brought downstairs. I asked how he was managing to climb the stairs. He said that he couldn't do it without Arthur. I'd been visiting him for quite a while, but had never met Arthur, and assumed he had a kind neighbour who popped in to help my friend. But he continued, "I don't know what I would do without him. Night or day, I only have to give him a call, and he's here." I said, "How useful it must be to have a phone and a neighbour who was so kind." He smiled and replied, no, Arthur's not my neighbour. He's my guardian angel. If I struggle to climb the stairs, as I do often now, I just call, "Come on, Arthur, give us a hand." And he comes. My friend's belief was no figment of his imagination. Perhaps I might not have been thrown off course had he called his angel Gabriel or some other biblical name. But Arthur? Events outside the life and works of Jesus and perhaps the prophets of the Old Testament, supernatural tends to be a subject from which we shy away. And perhaps in some ways that's understandable. For instance, in the Daily Telegraph recently, I read, and I quote, "Fiction sales are at a 4-year high after a glut of supernatural TV series and blockbuster horror films sparked an incredible resurgence in the genre." Industry figures show that the year 2017 proved particularly popular for horror and ghost narratives, with nearly 550,000 copies sold, totalling £4.2 million in value. The boom has been attributed to the recent success of supernatural screen horror like Netflix's Stranger Things, with 15.8 million viewers tuning in to watch the first episode just 3 days after its initial release. Well now, we wouldn't want our children or our grandchildren or our great-grandchildren to get caught up in that rubbish, let alone wasting our time, would we? So Christians, in the main, are okay with the supernatural acts like the miracles Jesus performed and the amazing resurrection of Jesus, when in fact angels were on hand to roll the stone away from the tomb. And there's that delightful recounting in St. Luke's Gospel of when the women went to the tomb and they were alarmed, and the angel said, "Don't be alarmed," and reminded the women what Jesus had told them. And in St. Matthew's Gospel, we're told there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone. And as much to say, "Well, what do you think of that then? He sat on it." Incidentally, we do well to realise that one single angel rolled away the stone, which weighed several times more than a man on his own could move. We're happy to believe in angels in those situations, and they're probably part of our upbringing if we've had a church background. But when we read, "For he will command his angels concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the It's the language of the Bible, reassuring us that in whatever situation we may find ourselves, we need not fear. God's provision is promised. And whether we need 1,000 angels or one single Arthur, God knows what our need is, and he's promised to provide it. But we still struggle. Things start to get a bit too mystical. And perhaps we look at those kind of verses as lovely literature which describes what has happened to the prophets of old. But we believe the Bible was written by inspiration of God. And there are nearly 300 mentions of angels in the inspired Bible. So it would seem God intended that we should be aware of them, and how they relate not just to the prophets of old, but to us today. So let me do a brief resume. We know there are levels of angels. Michael, the archangel, the chief angel of heaven. Then there's Gabriel, God's messenger of mercy and promises. Seraphims are mentioned only in Isaiah chapter 6. I'm sure you'll remember many a sermon about Isaiah, who told us in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah had a vision of the Lord and saw the seraphims call to each other in worship of the Lord. And Isaiah cried out, "I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." And one of the seraphims flew to him with a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched Isaiah's mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And then we've got seraphims, who represent all things heavenly. We also know that angels are specially created beings by God. They're not humans who've gone to heaven. God created angels to be his messengers. The word angel, of course, means messengers. And as someone whose wife is called Angela, I realise they come with words of wisdom. Angels were created by God to do his bidding and to be on standby to assist all believers, you and me. And that's an important thing to remember. God provides angels to guide us and to protect us as we make our journey here on earth to heaven. They remind us of God's omnipotence and his desire that we should know that we do not make that journey alone. Now, there's a difference between the Holy Spirit and angels. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead. He is God, the Holy Spirit, who makes decisions. He convicts men of their sin. Angels don't possess the attributes of God. They go to where and to whom God sends them to remind believers what God expects of them. Yet things still seem supernatural. For instance, David reminds us in Psalm 68, verse 17, "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels." Seeing such scenes seems wonderful. And what about the amazing and exciting time we read in 2 Kings chapter 6, that the king of Aram, which is in present-day Syria, was so angry when he was at war with Israel that all his tactics were being leaked to the Israelites. The king ordered that the person responsible should be identified, but he was told that there was no leak. He was told that it was just that Israel had a prophet called Elisha, who seemed to know ahead of time what the king was planning. The king decided that Elisha should be captured and silenced. And we read that Elisha was found to be in Dothan, which is not far from the present-day Hebron. So the king sent horses and chariots and a strong force. He was taking no chances with that gathering of troops. When Elisha's servant went out early, he saw the troops surrounding the city and gasped to Elisha, "What are we going to do?" Well, I guess we've all had some moments in our lives when we've said that, when we face difficult moments. My mind goes back to just a little while ago when I heard a crash upstairs at home. I raced upstairs and found my wife flat out, unconscious. And I said to myself, what am I going to do? And no doubt you have all had some kind of similar experience. Perhaps it's been a serious illness of a loved one, or there's been a breakdown in a relationship. Maybe there's been a finance problem, or work has dried up. We've been let down by someone we trusted. So many things like that cause us to say, what are we going to do? Elisha said to his servant, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then he prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked up and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. And we read such things and think, wow. But then realism kicks in, and we remember that happened 2,770 years ago. But let's come from the past and project ourselves with John in his writing of Revelation. He wrote about seeing 10,000 times 10,000 angels in heaven ministering to Jesus. So we have the stories of the wonderful acts of protection of God's people in the Old Testament, and we have the incredible sight of thousands of angels we shall see in heaven. But what about us in the here and now? Was my friend who called on his helping angel, Arthur, just imagining an angel was there? Well, what about this story, which has been accurately verified? A highly celebrated neurologist had gone to bed after a very tiring day when there was a knock on the door. There stood a poorly dressed little girl who asked if the doctor could please come urgently, as her mother was desperately ill. It was a cold, snowy night. She asked if the doctor would please, please come with her. Though tired, the doctor went with the girl and found the mother very ill with pneumonia. He quickly arranged the necessary medical care, and before he left, he complimented the mother on her thoughtful and persistent little daughter. The lady looked intently at him and said her daughter had died a month ago. She added that she still kept her shoes and clothes hanging on the door. The doctor looked and saw the coat was the one the little girl had been wearing. It was warm and dry and couldn't possibly have been out in that wintry night. The doctor was convinced that an angel had appeared in the form of the girl and had been sent to help and protect the mother. God will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands. When we leave this place of worship today, one of the blessings God provides for us, because we belong to him and confess him as Lord, is that we are surrounded by his angels. Yes, we have to face life's challenges, but we do it with God's provision of his angels, who guard over us and guide us and protect us. But before we return to a world which doesn't know that those who are with us are more than those who are with them, could I share some words which I feel God has provided? It's in the form of a poem called Angels Here Today. Lord, grant me the vision to see the angels you send just for me. When troubles assail and perplex and cause me to suffer distress, your guidance I need for each day. An angel, please send now, I pray. Your message I long to receive, and doubts on the altar I lay. Lord, thank you for showing your care by sending an angel to share each step of the journey I take, for errors I know I can make. Please open the eyes of my mind if in me some straying you find. Correction in love I'll accept and follow the way you direct. Lord, no one but you knows my need. Your knowledge all others exceed. The depth of the problems I face, I know can be dealt with by grace. Your angels surround me to say, your message they bring me today, all prove in a wonderful way, you'll meet all the prayers that I pray. Lord, angels I feel all around, I know that I am on holy ground. This world, though our faith would derail, can never, not ever prevail. God's angels have come here today, his promise to all to convey. His strength and his grace he'll display in all who believe and obey. Here then is our benediction. Though life may be so very busy, may you remember at all times that God has charged his angels to be with you, to guide, protect, and remind you that God is omnipotent and loves you through the sacrifice of Jesus he allowed at Calvary. Receive now the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.